I'd like to call to order the March 26th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Buick Parade Commission. Would the director take role to establish a quorum, please?
Yes, Rick Feifield.
I'm present.
Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Great. We'll start the agenda with old business. We have an applicant for 640 Royal Street. Do we have the staff report, please?
Oh, sorry. This is a proposal to install new rooftop mechanical equipment and equipment. This application was deferred at the January 23, 2024 meeting with one recommendation during that meeting to try rotating the rack 90 degrees on the roof. The applicant has returned with a proposal showing just that. The applicant has also included information regarding the expected mechanical equipment needed for this rack. The rack is now shown at almost 36 feet wide by 10 feet deep. It is set back from the front Royal Street parapet by about 13 foot 2, from the side parapet 10 foot 2, and from the edge of the courtyard overhang roof about 10 foot 3. Rotating the rack 90 degrees has allowed the rack to sink much lower on the roof, and the screening around the rack is now shown as rising only approximately 6 inches above the surrounding parapet. Excellent. This lower height should eliminate any visibility from the street as well as the upper levels of other buildings on Royal Street. There may still be some visibility from buildings between this one and the river, but with the rack now almost within the mass of the existing building, this has also been improved. Although this proposal appears to be an improvement over the one previously reviewed, staff still has concerns that adding a large mechanical rack to the roof of this very important blue-rated building. Staff notes that if the proposed rooftop location is approved by the committee, it would need to go before the commission for approval as well as for a rooftop location. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal, and I would like to add to this that if the committee does agree to this proposal, that an engineer's report be recommended. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Dixon Jellick with Williams Architects, 824 Barone Street, project architect.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Very brief. I did basically what you all recommended. We were able to get it out of the sight line from the public right away. And in full transparency, the previous engineering I inherited from another architect. It was a little back of the napkin. I now have real engineering, real sheets for every single unit from Pivotal Engineering, Mirai Engineering. Jenny Snape is also our structural engineer who has been looking at this. We're happy to provide a report in the very near future for this. Now that we have the correct amount of equipment up there to supply the building. The good thing is we've anticipated museum use on 1, 2, and 3 and potential bar use, which would be highest capacity on the fourth floor. The good thing is the 10, 15, and 20 ton units are the same size. So if one of those museum levels did go to a higher function requiring more tonnage, that would remain the same for the size of the units on those racks. The one good thing about the rack getting longer is we do get to spread the load out more across the building. We have about 8 points of contact now instead of 4, so that will help disperse the load quite a bit. And I would like to keep as much of the stuff up on the roof as possible, just because the nature of the building, seeing it from the courtyard or various levels of the interior balcony is just, I don't know, trying to remove it from anybody's view, you know, public and private. So thank you all for seeing this a second time.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant?
What penetrations would be associated with this installation?
Penetrations?
Yeah.
We'll have about, 8 pipe penetrations on the high side of the roof, which is plan left here. It's seen in the section detail. We left about 1 foot of clearance, which will give us, you know, a good 8 inches of flashing with a little tolerance to make sure we have accurate waterproofing installed for this. So that's driving the height is 1 foot from that point, which we kept low on the roof. We kept them far enough away from the perimeter that we don't need OSHA rails. However, we still propose to put a screen up there just to help conceal it a little better, and it will provide a rail for whoever is up there not to fall off of that equipment rack.
Got it. Will there be a hatch access, or?
The back end would just have a pretty much a little 3-foot opening. If you go to the plan, our access is from that 4th-story roof. So plan south, there's a little opening in the middle that we would, you know, pull a ladder up, get on the roof, and then be able to climb up into the rack and access all that equipment.
Is it just not shown on this plan?
There's a little opening in the middle of the bottom. It's just an opening that they would pull a ladder up to. I can make it more clear, but you can see there's a little break right in the middle of the bottom section.
Right. So that's actually a wall, adjacent wall.
Around the unit?
No, where that opening is. It's just not shown as a wall in plan.
It's not a wall. It's really just a glorified railing.
Are you planning on mounting the disconnect switches?
To the side of the railings. And honestly, I think we would like to keep it a screen. Even though all I need is an OSHA rail, it would obviously look a little better and conceal the rest of the equipment if anyone were to see it. And it would be mounted right to the side rack, pretty much next to each of the machines.
Any condensate ones?
Right now, honestly, I haven't put a pitch pocket on the roof or put a place, since this is all anticipated loads for future occupancy that's now just empty space. But I could certainly provide some pitch pocket details and coordinate that if needed.
I think staff would like for that to be a requirement.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied that this solution is the best for the building?
I do generally think that getting it out of it's a blue-rated building, it's 4 stories, the courtyard is one of the most beautiful courtyards I've seen in the French Quarter, and I'm trying to get every unit. What was there previously was an eyesore, to my opinion, and if pending the structural report, which I have been working with Jenny on this, I do believe this is the best potential location for the majority of the units. If it was asked of us to put some units elsewhere, I could potentially entertain it, but it would just further take away from the integrity of the balconies and that interior courtyard, which I find pretty special.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there any other discussion from committee?
Yes. I see in the aerial view that there's a chimney that I think lands within the footprint of this mm-hmm. proposed
yep.
platform. Is that just going to be sitting below the platform?
It would clear it.
Okay.
It'd be under the platform. We'd be right over top of it. It's obviously not in use anymore, and it's been capped off.
All right. Great.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 640 Royal Street?
Yes. In the matter of 640 Royal, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with the applicant to send an engineer's report and detailing on any roof penetrations, specifically coolant lines, to the staff for final review.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The matter motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all.
Next item is 921 through 25 Burgundy Street. We have an applicant present. We do. Can we have a staff report, please?
921 Burgundy is a green rated main building. This is a proposal to build a new 2.5-story dependency in the rear yard. Her application materials received December 20th, 2023 and February 20th, 2024, respectively. The applicant submitted a set of design development drawings as follows. For the rear new construction, the roof flashing and gutters are shown as copper, while the attic, louver, and downspouts are all labeled to be pre-finished. Staff is unsure why different metals are being proposed. Pre-finished metal is not typically allowed, but may be considered for new construction if the committee finds it appropriate. If so, finished details must be submitted for final review. The parapet was removed from the previously reviewed proposal because it was only proposed for the rear wall, not the side elevations, making it very atypical. Also, at the time, the wall assembly proposed was wood frame with brick veneer. Given that the wall will now be solid brick, staff finds the installation of a parapet to be more appropriate than the previous detail. It is drawn with through-wall flashing, portable on the outer face, and 1/2-inch thick slate coping stone set in mortar bed. steel angle lintels are shown facing outward and visible on the face of the building, with a note calling for them to be painted. Staff recommends that the angles be reversed so they are hidden. The doors, windows, transom, and transom bars are atypical in depth, profile, plane, detail, etc. While historic millwork should not be copied wholesale for new construction, these details should be a simplified version of more traditional millwork. Staff requests committee consideration, but recommends extensive revisions at staff level. Overall, staff finds the proposed work conceptually feasible, with revisions as noted above prior to proceeding, construction document development, and final commission review. Two HVAC condensers are shown under the exterior stair. Manufacturer spec sheets must be submitted for further consideration of the equipment, but the location is conceptually approvable. HVAC equipment for the main house will also be relocated to a new screen enclosure near the stairs. Platform and screening details will be needed, but this is also conceptually approvable. All electrical work is in keeping with the guidelines, but manufacturer spec sheets will be needed for the fixtures. All structural details, with the exception of the lintels noted above, also appear to be typical. Landscaping. Staff notes that the landscaping plan shows two steps up from the courtyard to the rear building, approximately 8 inches. It is unusual for a roof canopy to be installed at a different grade from the main building. Staff requests that the applicant explain why this is being proposed so the committee can consider its appropriateness. Two new raised brick planters will be installed between the courtyard and the new rear building. At least four existing planters have notes stating new ground level planting beds in the same location as existing. Staff finds this conceptually approvable. The central fountain has a note that states restore existing foundation or remove and replace with cocktail pool. More details will be needed before a proposal to install a pool in this location can be entertained. Staff recommends deferral.
Thank you. Would you like to state your names and addresses and relationship to the property?
Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architects, 638 Arbonne.
I'm
Lynn
Kirby, the owner of the property.
David Karimi, 530 Norman C. Francis, Karimi Construction.
Natalie Capizzoli, Karimi Construction, 530 South Norman C. Francis.
Thank you. Do any of you want to make a presentation or respond to the staff report?
Yeah, I have some brief responses to the review letter plugging from the bottom up. The pool and the landscape architect's scope will be a separate comment. It's not, we just put it on there for information purposes. Lynn is hiring a landscape designer to handle that aspect, so that's why it's not detailed. And then, of course, the on that topic of the courtyard, the current courtyard has the higher elevation. And the previous existing buildings were at the level that we're putting them in at. Yes. And it's helping with the range of this documentary.
One of the things that is not apparent from the pictures is that there's a retaining wall at the back of the property, and there's a 2-foot drop down to the parking lot below. So I think historically that the previous owners raised the back of the courtyard to keep the water from flowing toward Grand Park Street, keep the water flowing toward Burgundy Street. And the existing courtyard does have existing drainage that's there, that's at the front of the property to handle any water that comes from the courtyard.
Thank you. Anything else?
Moving on, the millwork. Aaron, I would like to have a millwork meeting with you and discuss all this in detail. We'll get that ironed out. That's okay. The steel angles, the structural engineer had them shown exposed, and of course that's the wrong way located to where they're facing each other, so we can see it. So of course that's going to happen. Sorry about that. Next thing, the parapet that we want to use is not really that what we have shown, what we really want to do, but I didn't want to have an unnecessary uproar, you know, for cat flashing, as y'all know. So I wanted to find out if that's, you know, I know that details. We'd rather use copper and have everything on the building that's metal. Since it is new construction.
So I'd like just to revisit that point. So in that detail that you call out, the actual designation is cut off. So what your parapet flashing?
What it's shown is the slate coping caps.
Okay.
Coping stones, if you will.
Okay.
that we really would like to do is copper cap.
Okay.
And contractors can speak to that.
Anything else for presentation?
We'll make all the metals match. That was the last comment.
That's good. Do you want to add anything about the parapet flashing, Mr. Creamy?
No.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No, I guess, yes.
Please.
I guess I'll just say that I don't think I would object to a cap flashing on a new construction building. But I don't know if the commission has a history of having a different opinion on that.
I don't think that it's objectionable on new construction. And I don't think, you know, the guidelines don't speak to it being problematic.
The new construction, since we have very limited new construction, all of the new construction that I can think of that I reviewed in the last 9 years where we have approved a metal cap, it's been because of the wall assembly type having some kind of wood frame. Generally, when we have gone with masonry construction, we have gone with a more traditional detail, but like Brian said, I don't think we have an issue with it. Just that's kind of been how we've operated up until now. Mm-hmm.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Any other questions for the applicant? I don't have any position on the cap flashing either, since it is new construction. So, is there a motion in the matter of 921 through 25 Burgundy Street?
Before I make this motion, I just, reading the staff report, staff's recommending a deferral and is...
Of the pool.
I'm only recommending deferral of the proposed pool.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I'm glad I got that clarification. Yeah, okay. Great. Well then, with that said, in the matter of 921 to 25 Burgundy, I move to adopt the staff's recommendations for conceptual approval and deferral as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Next item is 919 Cater Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to install HVAC equipment and generator on roof of the main building. For application materials received March 13th, 2024. In 2022, as part of a larger renovation application, the applicant received conceptual approval to install a new generator and HVAC equipment behind the historic stairwell bump out at the rear of the main building. Later, the applicant proposed to relocate this equipment to the roof of a storage shed behind the main building. Staff researched this atypical looking shed, informed the applicant that there was no record of it being permitted, and it is likely in violation. Staff suggested that the roof of the main building may be a viable alternative for mechanical equipment in this instance. The roof of the main building is flat, with the neighboring building on the upriver side rising an entire floor above this roof, and the neighboring building on the downriver side features a sloped roof rising above the flat roof on the side. The AC unit is proposed to be centered front to back on the roof, a little above 21 feet from both the front and rear edge. The generator is shown about 14 and a half feet back from the front edge. An existing roof hatch prevents the generator from being centered on the roof. The guidelines note that, quote, the property owner is encouraged to limit the amount of rooftop equipment and number of penetrations in order to minimize the overall appearance of clutter. Whenever possible, equipment should be located to be visually unobtrusive, typically on a rear slope of a roof surface or concealed behind a parapet. The installation of rooftop mechanical equipment, such as an air conditioner, compressor unit, generator, or similar equipment, is not permitted where it will be visibly obtrusive. Every effort should be made to shield the equipment from view and minimize associated noise, end quote. Staff finds the proposed flat roof location consistent with the guidelines and potentially approvable. Staff notes that this current application does not address the unpermitted shed, and staff will continue to encourage the applicant and owner to address this issue as well. If approved by the committee, this proposal would require final approval from the full commission. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with it to be forwarded to the commission for final review.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Blake Prechard, CLS Architects, 3129, staff architect.
And do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I'm reviewing the plans and looking for the shed, if the shed is drawn on the plans.
It's not drawn on this set of plans.
Okay.
Right now, the shed and the courtyard is not... No, that's the stairwell.
Okay.
It's stairwell curves, so where that blue, the end of that blue arrow is, mm-hmm. below that is going to be where that shed is located.
Somewhere down here.
Yep.
Got it.
Right now, we're not looking at the courtyard. I'm sure at some point we will apply for some sort of a permit to clean it up and do something with the shed.
Thank you. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Is there any final questions for the applicant? Staff? Yes, please.
I have a question. You have this listed under 919 Decatur. Is this generator for Sydney's or is this for?
This is for the apartment.
This is for the apartment. So is the apartment 917 or 919?
919.
Okay. Just to be clear. And may staff also request that you put new motions on the about penetrations. Thank you.
Do you anticipate other heating and cooling equipment to be added to this roof at some time in the future?
So Sydney's has equipment for their coolers that's currently down on the ground and on top of that shed. So at some point, maybe they'll request for us to do something with that, but right now I don't see us putting that on the roof.
And your access is through this existing hatch that's kind of to the left? Okay. Anything else? Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 919 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 919 Decatur, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work, encouraging the applicant to address the unpermitted shed and to submit additional detail on penetrations for this equipment for staff review.
Would that be all final details to be reviewed by the staff, including penetrations?
Yes, sure.
Great, thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Matt, motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Next item is under new business, and it's 923 through 29 Dauphine Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have a staff report, please?
Anyway, 923-29 Dauphine is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to perform structural repairs, including installation of permalock piling system and replacement of floor joists. The application materials received June 22nd, 2023, and March 4th, 2024, respectively. The applicant has submitted engineering drawings for repairs to address subsidence at the front Dauphine and Humane Design quarter of the building. Plans show the concrete at the sidewalk will be cut and the brick steps removed to allow for piling installation. The existing bricks will be reused. Removed concrete is to be replaced with 6 inches of 4,000 PSI concrete with expansion joints every 10 feet. Approximately 4 floor joists are shown to be replaced with new 2x10 pressure-treated joists, with a note that it will be field-determined after tunneling how many joists exactly will require replacement. At the midpoint of these joists, a new poured concrete footing, quote, to be minimum 24x24x8 with rebar, is shown supporting 4x4 pressure-treated wood shims. The corbelled brick foundation in the affected area, called out as a chain wall, is shown with a 1/2 inch by 2 foot by 3 foot steel plate installed beneath the brick in 6 locations, with permalock segmented concrete piling installed below. Staff is unsure how this will be achieved in the 6 locations indicated, if the corbel footing is continuous. The permalock pilings consist of 7 5/8 by 7 5/8 by 7 5/8 concrete masonry units and or 7 5/8 and by 5/8 15 5/8 concrete walk masonry units. Segment piles are hydraulically jacked upon one another into a refusal. Existing foundation begins to move upward. 3,500 PSI segment concrete masonry units bolted together by 7/16 inch permalock rods. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed structural repairs.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Sure. My name is Clay Berrio, 42333 Deluxe Plaza, Suite 8. I am the engineer of record for the project. My plans are those on the thing up there.
Great. Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Not really, because the staff report kind of goes right along with what we have. The only thing I'd add to it is we are going to have to do some field investigation, simply because this is so low to the ground and so inaccessible that until we get under there, we may find that there may be more than rotten joists than we think that have to be replaced. But the entire goal of this project is to replace them in such a way that it looks the exact same when we finish.
So why do you think this corner of the building is subsiding?
I have a suspicion that it's either one of two reasons. One had to do with either the severe drought that we encountered, but I'm leaning less away from that belief because it would affect more than just one corner of the building. What I really feel like is that there was some drainage and some water right there, and I think that that water may have weakened the subsurface in there, which is why I think the permalock pilings will lock that into place and hold it in place.
Have you done
basically shifting from a shallow to a deep foundation.
And how do you think the remaining shallow foundation will behave adjacent to this new, deeper foundation?
The fact that the remaining shallow foundation appears to have not subsided, not moved significantly, that's why I'm leaning to it's not really the drought that caused this, because I feel like if it was the drought, we would have the entire building would be subsiding. That's why I feel like there was something, either they had a water leak or a water line or something that's been repaired, or something happened on that one corner that caused the soils to become weaker in that one corner.
And you don't think that consolidating that soil would be an approach that would stabilize the building?
I'm afraid that it would not be significant, and I think it would cause more intrusion to try to stabilize that soil, because we still have to access it somehow. You're going to have to cut the holes to get under there. If you're going to do that and the soil stabilization doesn't work, I know that the push pilings will. So I'd rather go with something that I know is going to work the first time around, so we don't have to do this twice.
Is there any evidence in the masonry frame of the building that would suggest damage from the subsidence?
No, I'm really not seeing significant cracking at this point. And the subsidence at this point is within, and I don't have my numbers in front of me, but I think within 2-3 inches, I believe, at that point.
And that's expressed in the floor system? That's expressed in the floor system?
Yes, I think so.
Have you looked at the possibility that this is compression of joists in the joist pockets of the masonry construction rather than subsidence of the foundation system itself?
From what I can see of the wood, and again, it is hard to explore under there because it's this high off the ground and very limited access, but everywhere so far that I've looked at the wood looks to be in good condition. So I would be suspicious that it would not be that because I don't see it in other places throughout, but I can't rule it out because I can't necessarily see that corner. Now, if during the excavation we get under there and find that, we can make an adjustment to that effect, but without excavation, I'm not sure how we can actually determine that.
Would you be open to exploratory demolition to determine what's really going on here rather than the full thing that we're talking about here? My concern here is differential settlement. Once you get a more rigid foundation under this corner of the building, mm-hmm. and we have continued motion in other parts of the building, I'm also concerned that you're proposing a relatively aggressive repair for something that isn't expressed in the masonry shell of the building yet, which to me suggests that I'm not going to say this, that the deficiency may be in the wood system rather than the masonry system.
I'm not going to rule that possibility out, but in my experience, I don't think so. But again, whether we do the exploratory to do the repair or whether we do the exploratory to see what's going on, either way, it's going to be the same cut to do it. So I would like to be prepared that if we cut down there and find that it's not the wood, then we'd be ready to drive the pilings and have that in place. But if we do the exploratory and find that, look, we've got a lot of rotten wood here, perhaps I don't see time to termites, but let's say that we do find something along those lines, we can take a step back and say, hey, okay, whoa, we found this, we can just do this wood repair instead. But the demolition or the cuts that are required are going to be the same either way. So I would like to have that in my back pocket, that if I get in there and don't find that, then I can stabilize this corner of the foundation.
I'm going to just keep on. Do you mind if I just keep on?
Yeah, keep going.
Did you explore just the idea of a cast-in-place foundation rather than a piled foundation that would approximate the same bearing surface as the historic foundation?
Well, if we do a cast-in-place, what exactly would you be suggesting on that? Because if I'm a brick corbel footing, I've got to get under there. I basically would have to tunnel under for a significant portion, pour effectively a concrete footing underneath there. I'm still in a shallow foundation. We could do that, but I don't see how that would be more effective than a push pile with a steel plate on top of it. I feel like the push piling would be the more sure solution to making sure that I get it short. I'm not opposed to either way. I'm just not 100% sure why that would be a better solution on that case.
Well, I think that, as a commission, and I'm going to let the staff kind of chime in here, we tend to like solutions which approximate the existing structural system. Now, I don't know if we have a lot of experience approving this cable lock footing system, especially under a portion of a historic building. So, I mean, my main concern here is the technology, but really the result of that technology causing a situation where we have a building that's partially found one way and partially founded in another way, that could cause cracks, which aren't visible yet. I don't know if we're really addressing the problem.
Well, would it make sense at this point to just proceed far enough to do exploratory demolition to where the conditions are better understood before making the final decision?
So is this a modification that requires committee or commission review and approval?
Committee.
Yeah.
Okay, so this could come back.
Right, this is not a grave condition. A lot of times we have a structural situation that we need action immediately. I think that this is a situation where we could, do this as a step, exploratory, just determine what the actual conditions are better, and then maybe come to a better conclusion.
Okay.
Well, if we do that, one thing, so make this exploratory, we will have to deconstruct that front step and get under that section. That's going to leave a section of the sidewalk.
We have meetings every 2 weeks.
Oh, no, but I mean, that's even 2 weeks. That's okay. That what I don't want to do is do the exploratory, patch the concrete, and then come back and have to do it again.
No, I think generally you can permit and then,
You could leave it open.
Right. That's what I'm going to ask. Yes. Making sure
I think what we're really looking for is a step in between the drastic solution, one that would confirm exactly where this failure is occurring, if it's in the wood system or a masonry system.
You understand.
And you should be able to tell that pretty quickly once you get under there.
I can. It's right. Just, at this point, and I wish if you could see it, there's just almost no access.
Well, I can totally appreciate that. I've lived in a house
and
like
we,
that.
We write so. Exploratory permits all the time, so, yeah.
Okay. And so, but I do agree with you. I understand your concerns on that. Absolutely. Okay.
Is there any public comment on this proposal?
Thank you, Savinsky, 211 St. Philip. I've lived in this neighborhood for a very long time, and this building has not had major, repointing type work the entire time. And I'm not sure that the current owner, who I know means well and does a good job, is aware that it hasn't had the structural maintenance for at least 30 years that it should have had.
Thank you. If you just fill out a card as a record of your speaking. Okay, any other questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I guess I did want to ask about the staff is asking in their report whether or not we know that it's a continuous masonry footing or if it is series of piers.
Do we know, if I have to go with what's typical, normally it's a continuous brick corbel footing. I would suspect, given the age of this particular house, that's what we would find. And that's why we've set the plates at 2 foot by 3 foot, so that it will be able to support the continuous corbel footing. And if pilings are under there, those plates will butt up against each other.
Okay.
So we're assuming that it's a worst case, which would be a continuous corbel footing.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else?
No, not
staff.
For me.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 923 through 29 Dauphine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 923 to 29 Dauphine, I move to approve.
Exploratory
work necessary to determine the exact cause of the subsidence and to report back to the staff on those findings and to return to this committee should an aggressive foundation repair such as what's proposed be necessary.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks so much. Thanks for your clear description of what you're doing.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Next item is 737 through 39 Barrack Street. Do you have an applicant present? I don't see an applicant for 737 through 39 Barrack Street. Nope. Okay, we'll skip over that one and move on to 1011 St. Philip Street. Do you have an applicant present? We do.
Here's staff report, please. Philip is Green Rate in Maine and Rear Buildings. This is a proposal to install decorative security gate and front entry alcove. For application materials received February 29th, 2024. As a reminder to the committee, this property has been undergoing exterior repairs for the last several years, including extensive work at the front entry alcove. The applicant proposes to reinstall a decorative wrought iron gate that was previously present, seen in photographs as early as 1980. However, the work has modified the wood surround, and there is now no wood jamb inside the group revival entrance, so the opening has gotten wider. The applicant has provided an elevation that shows a gap between the gate frame and the wood surround filled with decorative cast iron pieces. It is unclear if there would be another frame around the edges for the cast iron to attach to. The applicant states that the gate will not attach to entryway millwork surround, and the gate will be attached to steel flat bar framework in floor and ceiling rafters before already approved millwork ceiling alcove ceiling millwork is installed. Staff requests that the submitted drawing be revised to show the attachments more clearly, but has no objection to the reinstallation of the gate. Staff does find the combination of cast iron and wrought iron to be highly atypical, particularly given the flat appearance of the wrought iron gate versus the more three-dimensional cast iron pieces. It may be more appropriate to fill the remainder of the frame with similar wrought iron elements rather than the decorative cast iron and canvas leaves, particularly given how much of a more decorative the overall appearance would be with the inclusion of the cast iron pieces. Staff seeks guidance to the committee regarding the proposed modifications to the gate.
Thank you. Would you like to state your names and address and relationship to the property?
Terrence Patrick Jacobs.
Can you speak?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
thank you,
Spinsky. So long,
thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
This is the same gate that was there before. What they've done before is they simply stepped down from what would have been the original woodwork with assemblage of 2x4s and 1x material to create a much narrower entrance around that gate. So I'm going to utilize the same gate that was there before. I've eliminated, you can see right there, the step down step that would have been non-original. So I've gone back to what would have been, I walked all through the corridor, and I went back to what would have been the original opening dimensions. So then the question is, how do I fill that negative space around the gate? My proposal is, rather than filling it in with wood or creating a cage-like appearance by using more wrought iron, I came up with something that was a little more creative. This is going to be a freestanding element. The way it's going to be supported is I have to frame around the gate and the top assembly, which is also existing. So the gate and that little filigree bit you see above that's rectangular currently exists. Yes, exactly. So I'm going to use 1/2 inch by 1.5 inch steel bar stock. I'm going to run it vertically across the sides and then horizontally across the top of the gate to frame in the gate. You can sort of see that there. And then those acanthus leaves aren't actually going to touch any of the woodwork. There's going to be about a 2 to 4 inch gap all the way around, so the entire assembly will appear to just float in space. It'll provide security because no one's going to be able to get around it through that narrow gap. But it should create a fairly, it's going to be a very heavy item. It's going to create a fairly light, airy appearance. I think it'll look a lot better than, you know, my original option when I was going to do this would have been much cheaper, because I was simply going to cage it in with more wrought iron. I've seen that on a number of houses in the quarter. I think it looks added on. I think it looks fairly crude. I think it looks like just a cheap attempt to sort of fill the space. This is an attempt to do something a little more artistic and much more attractive. You can see sort of from that, you have to visualize with the elevation drawing right there, it appears that the gate is touching the edge of the wood. It will not. It'll be stepped back from that woodwork a little bit. So the way it's going to be mounted is pretty easy. I'm simply going to drill into the granite step at the top. I'm going to set that steel and lead or epoxy for lead. And then at the top, I still put the, I had to redo all the floor joists for the attic. So I put, those were actual 2x8 Ross Sons cypress beams. So I've got a ton of 2x8 timber up at the top. I'm just going to take that steel right in and bolt it into the top before I put my ceiling in place. Visually, those bars are going to disappear. If need be, I can hide them. I'm intending to hide them right behind the acanthus leaves, but you're not going to see a half inch wide bar running forever.
So where would it be on this drawing?
The steel bar. So yeah. on the hard edge of the gate. Yeah, on the hard edge of the gate, right there.
Yeah.
I could either continue that straight up, or what I would like to do, I'm intending to actually do, is step it over behind one of those canvas leaves and actually run it up there, so you can't see it. It's a little more difficult to just a little bit of welding to do that, and that would be my preferred method of doing it, so you can't see it at all. If that ends up not being structurally sound, I think that will work just fine. If it doesn't, then I'm just going to run the bars continuously up. And so you would take that vertical line you see there and just run that straight up to the top. It would go up through the woodwork right now.
And so the operable portion of the gate will be the historic gate, and the acanthus leaf surround will be...
Yes, I'm sorry, my hands were...
The operable portion of the gate will be the historic wrought iron, and
yes,
then the acanthus
exactly,
leaves will...
Exactly, yes, the part that you see there in the middle, the part that's wrought iron, that's what's currently there. That's what will function and work. The rest of that is going to be literally a framework surround that will be set in place.
How do you respond to the staff concern about the dissimilarity between the wrought iron and cast iron material?
It's not entirely wrought. It's heavy bar stock. That thing was made probably in Germany. It's all screwed together. So I don't think it's an enormous dissimilarity in appearance. That's a combination of steel balls. It's cold forms. It is. You could call it wrought. It's not hand wrought in the traditional sense. It's a heavy. Those pieces are like 3/4 inch square steel pieces. They're all screwed together. That gateway's, you know, seen them. I took myself and my two workmen to lift it to get it in my hand. It's very heavy. I think that the weight of that gate will not be overwhelmed by the cast iron and acanthus leaves. In fact, I think the acanthus leaves. I have three options essentially. I could go back to what was there before, which was the step-down wood, which was frankly hideous. It made the entire, it changed the dimensions of the opening. So the next option, which is easier and cheaper, is I can just build a steel cage, which is what most people have done in wrought iron. But it wouldn't match the iron that's there. That's a German gate with heavy steel pieces and cast, you know, parts on it. Then my third option is what I did, which I think will create an air. I think it'll look very light. I think it'll look very airy. My inspiration for this actually was church altars, and we're about to head to Guatemala for Holy Week. And you often see church altars that have a lot of metalwork sort of floating in the space of the apse. That was sort of the inspiration for this. I know it's somewhat atypical. I've got photos from walking around New York where people filled in negative space around windows and stuff with a similar design element. And so it's not something that, it may be atypical for the quarter, I think, because people have done it because of expense. You can walk all over New York and see negative space handled exactly the same.
If I may, the gate is, it's kind of more like almost square, and it's about 5/8 of an inch around. It's not a rod.
I mean, I've got a close up of that gate if you want to see that. Right?
You can tell that it's sort of flat bar style.
It's a square bar style.
Yeah, you can tell that.
Yeah, I've got photos of, if you want to see a close up of the detail of it. It's pretty substantial. I mean, my guys are struggling just to hold it up. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think that the mounting mechanism that you're suggesting is really clever, and you know, it seems like we'll have something that actually clearly communicates, you know, the status of this gate in the opening, and I appreciate the restoration of the opening size. Any other comments from the committee or questions for the applicant?
I agree. I don't object to the mixing of what appear to be sort of wrought materials with these cast materials, because I think we're not working with historic material, and it's just, it will be obvious to anyone who knows a thing about it that it's something that's more contemporary.
I would request that if the committee approves this, that the drawings be updated as you know more about how this is going to be attached, so that it can be reviewed and approved before construction.
I could try to do that, Brian. I'll be honest, it's going to be more of an on-the-fly kind of thing.
However, we're going to have to work with the fact that we don't do on-the-fly, and yeah, as a frequent attendee at these meetings, also don't appreciate what others do as well, I would really like for us to be able to review this and not approve something that we don't really know exactly how it's going to be constructed.
Can I give you drawings for two options?
How about this? When you know, obviously we do a conceptual approval, and when you know the conditions on site, you provide us some updated drawings. So as you're moving along, you can know how to get in touch with us. This can be done as you're proceeding.
Yeah.
But I'm not comfortable with just saying, we have drawings that you already have said may be working, maybe not, and then you're going to determine on the fly, because we just get into trouble when we do that.
So this is what I'll suggest, to kind of follow the director's recommendation, is that a section through the jamb of this and through the head to show the new metal adjacent to the existing metal, and then the relationship of the gate to the opening is something that I would like to see, because that's been described. And that might begin to tell us the size of the material, specific castings or something you can just provide as a transmittal. So I don't think this is an onerous request. I think it's something that is pretty stock.
I mean, I can draw that up right, fairly soon. I mean, there are two options.
Well, good.
I'm just here so I can clear out the two options right now. The two options are, in my original design, I had intended to simply take the side rails that you see right there straight up.
Right.
Just straight up. That was easiest, and I was going to take the cross piece straight across. Nikki thought that I could make it more sophisticated by hiding the rails behind the cast pieces. Whether that's going to be sturdier enough or not, I mean, I can draw it up both ways, but I'll be honest, Brian, it'll probably be sturdy enough to do it that way, and I'm intending to do it that way. I may have to run the lines straight up,
those
are my two options.
In construction, and I know the staff is used to this, you have plan A, and if you find out that plan A isn't working, then you let the commission know that you're going to pursue plan B, but always with conversation with the commission staff.
And approved drawings.
And
so,
approved drawings.
Absolutely, just give us a call.
So
do we need to come back to here?
No.
Okay, no.
Yeah,
we're going to give you conceptual approval.
All right,
sounds
so
like. But before we get too far,
so.
Nikki, please. Yeah. Is there any public comment on this proposal? We have to get through the nuts and bolts of this. I don't see any public comment. Do you have one more question that is.
So how quickly, once we get you the drawings and we're on.
Let's get through the conceptual approval.
So we need to get on with you. He's going to grant you conceptual approval, and we'll work out how much time it takes.
Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 1011 St. Philip Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1011 St. Philip, I move to conceptually approve the proposed work with the applicant to circulate section drawings, details that better illustrate the attachments to be used to be reviewed and approved at the staff level.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for the clever design. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next item is 403 Royal Street. Do you have an applicant present? You do. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 403 Royal
is a purple-rated main building and service building with brown-rated courtyard additions and side carriageway. This is a proposal to install wall ties at the Royal Side Parapet for application materials received March 11, 2024. The Royal Side Parapet has been concerning for several years, initially cited by staff as a hazardous condition in 2021. The architect for the property submitted a stamped engineer's report in 2022, which stated there was no evidence of additional movement and therefore no danger of collapse or failure at that time. In 2023, an interior-only application for structural repairs at the roof was submitted, stating that the roof was in imminent danger of failure and in need of immediate reinforcement. These interior repairs were performed, and a separate application has now been submitted to address the Royal Side Parapet, which has continued to deflect and sag since it was sited in 2021. Staff notes the interior structural system of the roof is complicated by the presence of two separate roof systems. The original subroof is a very low pitch, and secondary, much steeper roof was added at a later date. This system is detailed in the 1934 HAS drawings for this building. Mr. Patrick Avery submitted an engineer's report regarding the Royal Side Parapet, stating, per your request on March 21st, 2024, I made a visual observation of the property located at 403 Royal in New Orleans. The purpose of my site visit was to evaluate structural damage to the front wall and parapet along the Royal side of the building, as cited by the VCC. From the exterior of the structure, the visible observation brought to my attention cracks throughout the facade of the structure, continuing up the face of the wall and into the parapet. These cracks were also noted in the notice of violation. From the interior of the building, it was noted that the wall is out of plumb, leaning towards Royal Street. It is my recommendation that wall ties be installed at the attic ceiling level along the Royal Street wall of the building to secure the second floor wall and parapet above to the rest of the building framing. Two ties are proposed to be installed with 9-inch by 3/4-inch round plates visible on the exterior of the building. Staff notes that the recess in the decorative cornice where the plates are proposed is shown in HAPS drawings as 1 foot 3 1/2 inches tall. The roof is then shown tied with a 3/4-inch rod secured to a 6-inch by 4 foot 6 by 3/8-inch steel plate bolted to the bottom of the roof truss. Staff notes that the bottom section from the HAPS drawing does not show the recess in the cornice aligning with the bottom of the truss as indicated in these plans. So this should be verified by the applicant. In response to this report, VCC staff asked Mr. Avery, based on your observations, do you have any thoughts on what may have caused these conditions? My main concern being the two exit roof structures. If it's just normal wear and tear or water intrusion, then that's less of an existential concern as long as things are maintained adequately. But if it's related to the extraneous structure that's up there, I'm worried we might see similar issues develop elsewhere on the parapet at a later date. Can we expect any masonry or stucco repairs as part of this scope or just the installation of the ties? Given the cracks and the presence of some vegetation growth here in the recent past, I expect some finish repair on both sides of the parapet will be needed at the very least. Mr. Avery responded, based on everything we've seen, most of the damage to the walls is due to the extensive termite damage throughout the ceiling and attic structure. That damage has been addressed with the new steel supports that were installed late last year, and I believe that should alleviate most future issues with the masonry walls and parapet. I do believe that there will need to be some masonry repairs, mostly on the inside, and some plaster repairs to address cracks on the outside. Staff notes that the proposed scope of work does not completely address staff's structural concerns with this property. Concerning conditions at the dormers have also been present and actively worsening since at least 2015. Water intrusion, vegetation growth, and separation materials, including stucco, have been observed. But the most significant concern is related to the cracked and canted ridge beam at the Conti side dormer. The architect for the property has told staff for years that a proposal to address these concerns would be forthcoming, but nothing has been received. It is unclear what the current conditions are following the interior work, but it is highly unlikely that this issue could be resolved without consequences on the exterior, which would require VCC review. Staff has requested a full inspection of the attic. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the installation of the proposed structural ties, noting that commission review will also be required due to the building's purple rating.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property.
Patrick Avery, Avery Brothers, 3319 Orleans Avenue.
Do you have a staff response to staff report or a presentation you'd like to share?
No presentation of sorts, but just responding to comments regarding the full scope of the project. We were brought in by Walter Zenner to install the two wall ties on the front. So the rest of the extent of the scope and the damage to the structure, I can't really comment on. But what the report stated, you know, we came in late last year and put steel channels, and there was extensive termite damage to the secondary roof structure, the upper structure. And so there was collapse bowing pushing out of those walls. And so everything's been fastened and tightened with steel channels and steel saddles. And so that should prevent any further shifting and movement in those upper walls of the structure. But we did want to address the front wall that had a bow out, and then the parapet subsequently kind of bows back in. And so we wanted to tie that back to the existing roof truss structure of the building.
Could you put the halves drawn up on the screen, please?
Of the roof?
Yeah. It's
the section.
It's page...
That's it, right?
That's it,
right. 146? Yeah, 146. That's it. Okay, could you, I mean, there seems to be a discrepancy between this drawing and the drawing that you proposed as a conceptual model for this
tie. I guess the drawing that was provided by Walter was just a kind of structural detail where there will need to be some blocking on that wood truss if it lines up as it does. So we have to block up on the top of the wood truss to attach to that wall tie.
I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking that where we see such a remarkable discrepancy between, historic documentation of the building and a drawing prepared by a structural engineer, which I'm really happy that you have Mr. Zenner involved. But I think we need to have an architectural representation of this that actually shows the profile of the wall and relationship of wood structure to masonry structure, so we can be assured that where you're proposing this die be placed actually lines up with where you need to provide the strength.
Okay.
I just can't, we can't approve this, because based on this HABS drawing, you're going to miss by a mile.
So how far off, because this is the first time I've seen these drawings. Based on these drawings, how far off is the top of that wood truss?
Well, I'm not going to tell you, but we're talking about, maybe a, I don't know. I mean, it could be a foot or more.
It interferes with the valley gutter, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think we need to have a section here.
Okay.
I think, in concept, the placement of, you've chosen a great location for these ties to be placed. We might want to talk about the shape of the tie or something like that. But if it's in the wrong place, it's not going to do any good to put it in there. Or if it interrupts other architectural features of the building, like the box gutter, it's not going to do us any good either. So I think we need more information. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay. Is there any public comments? No public comment at this time.
It's been a longstanding violation. Could we possibly put a time frame on this?
I think 2 weeks works.
For the architectural drawing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, because again, the concept of tying this back, let's say y'all got it absolutely right. We just need to tie it back at the right place. And if it turns out that the wood structure that you want to tie to is in a different location, we'll look at a different solution.
Right.
And we're not saying no, we're just saying let's get it right, because it's such an important building.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, is there any other discussion before we go to a motion?
Not for me.
Do we have a motion in the matter of 403 Royal Street?
Yes, in the matter of 403 Royal, I move to defer this matter to our next meeting to allow the applicant time to work on an architectural drawing based on existing conditions, using the HABS drawing, assuming that it is fairly accurate, to identify the exact location of these ties and how they relate to existing elements of the building.
Would you accept an amendment to stipulate that the staff would be given access to the site to verify architectural section?
Thank you. Yes, I would.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
You're heading the right direction. We just need to verify.
Yeah, we'll get that together.
Thank you. Next item is 820 St. Louis Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Do we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to make repairs to service building balcony, including balcony replacement of balcony decking with new wood decking per application of materials received March 12, 2024. The proposed work is limited to the service building only. It includes the complete replacement of the balcony decking, removal and replacement of the balcony ceilings above the first and second floor levels, with an anticipated 20% needing to be fully replaced, and select repair / replacement of the balcony railing and columns. Finally, all work will be painted to match existing. Given the purple rating of the building, committee level review is required for this work. Photographs provided by the applicant show the decking in poor, pretty poor condition, and elements of the railing certainly in need of repair. Regarding replacement of the ceiling boards, staff recommended to the applicant that any replacement boards be interspersed among the existing rather than grouping the new boards together. Staff encourages the applicant to maintain close communication with staff if there are any changes or surprises once the work starts. Staff recommends approval of the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Daniel Bell, 1209 Toro Street, general contractor and applicant.
Sarah Chambersley, 5318 South Liberty, director of operations for the property.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
No, like just to reiterate that our intent is to preserve and restore everything as much as possible and make sure that the railing systems on these galleries are safe for their continued use.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
No questions for me, no.
So your intention is to use wood as replacement material in all cases?
Correct.
Okay. That makes it pretty simple.
The treated 1-inch tongue and groove materials for the decking, prime on all sides. We use red grandis as the species we're using for most millwork on the railing at this time. We use a combination of wood filler and the Avatron wood epoxy for some of the larger rot areas that we can hopefully maintain on the original railings. Oil-based primer, we have a neat documentation of the original paint from the 70s from Women's Exchange that we're using to match colors.
I think we're basically here for the purple radar.
Right. Yeah. I the only caution I'm going to interject would be that the tongue and groove detail for the historic deck may not match contemporary profiles. And so that's something to confirm, unless the material is contemporary already.
I don't think the decking is original. It's probably
okay. That's something 70s that we'll probably want to confirm with staff.
We is there have any documentation that it was totally replaced after Hurricane Betsy in the 60s.
Okay, there you go. Do we have any public comment on this matter? I see no public comment. Any other additional discussion?
Is there the ceiling board or plank profile, is that also a tongue and groove with a bead on it, or?
I believe it's a single bead tongue and groove.
Okay, and you'll just be matching that profile?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there a motion in the matter of 820 St. Louis Street?
Yes, in the matter of 820 St. Louis, I move to approve the proposed work with the applicant to be in communication with staff closely on any changes or surprises once work begins.
Would it be reasonable to stipulate that we ask the applicant to provide existing and proposed sections for all wood replacement?
Sure. Yes.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. That shouldn't be too onerous.
Thank you.
200 Royal, is there an applicant present? We have an applicant. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 200 Royal is a green rated and order rated building. This is a proposal to install security cameras hosted by National Crime Camera Program Project NOLA. Her application and materials were received March 14, 2024. Two security cameras have been installed at the Iberville corners of the Hotel Monleon at Royal and Iberville and Exchange Alley and Iberville. As part of the application, the applicant stated, quote, at the request of LeJean Roberts, the commander of the 8th Police District, two oscillating security cameras have been installed at the intersections of the Hotel Monleon structure, one at the corner of Royal and Iberville and another at the corner of Exchange Place and Iberville Street. These two cameras are part of Project NOLA, a comprehensive security network monitored by the University of New Orleans. Integration into the system enables the cameras to provide immediate feedback, facilitating timely police responses to potential criminal activities and assisting in the apprehension of offenders. Notably, both cameras have already provided crucial information following the recent incident at Popeyes, leveraging advanced features such as facial recognition and 360-degree auto tracking. The strategically placed mounts afford an extended field of vision for the high-definition cameras. Your support in maintaining these security measures is greatly valued as we collectively strive to enhance the safety of our city. Project NOLA's website states a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Project NOLA works with individuals, associations, and municipalities to place a cost-subsidized high-definition crime cameras, gunshot detectors, and license plate recognition cameras in needed areas. Video is transmitted via the internet to the Project NOLA National Real-Time Crime Center, located at the University of New Orleans, where analysts provide valuable information to units responding to breaking crimes in dangerous situations. Project NOLA may also transmit crime camera video and powerful AI-driven automated alerts to local RTCCs and 911 centers. It appears from their website that several different types of cameras with varying capabilities are available, with property owners paying an annual cloud fee. Given the prominent location of this property and larger citywide efforts to deter crime, staff has no objection to the retention of these cameras and recommends approval. However, they are larger than what may be considered to other properties, particularly residential buildings. If smaller cameras that are more in keeping with the design guidelines are also supported by Project NOLA, it may be the BCC can coordinate with the program in the future.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Yeah, I'm Richard Chu, 1377 Magazine Street.
And what is your relationship to the property?
I really don't have a presentation, just representing the hotel. They, you know, called me and said, we installed these cameras, and I think we need to go to the BCC and talk to them. So here I am to answer any questions you have.
Do you have any questions for the applicant? I guess I have a couple. So these are movable elements. They can actually swing them around or rotate them.
It spins around and 180 degrees in all directions. Sort of
and
thing.
The mounting height, is that something that is?
I think they're 10 feet to the bottom. That's what the drawing says.
I'm sure something is required, right? Some sort of height is required.
Yeah, and it all has to do with what's around there. Like you can see here where the sconces are. They had to be below those.
Yeah. Okay.
And then just high enough, if you know, the last picture was the alley camera, and as you can tell, it routinely gets hit by trucks, and so they wanted to go higher than all the scar marks.
Smart.
No, literally.
There you go.
That's kind of what's going on there.
So this is for the staff. I mean, I guess I would not argue at all the need to have eyes on this corner. But I'm wondering if the size and placement of this camera does deviate from what we normally approve for, we'll call them civilian applicants.
I would agree with you if this was a historic building.
Okay.
You know, because it would be definitely visually intrusive and would mar the historic character. However, I think because of the high visibility of the cameras on this somewhat troublesome block, I think it actually serves a good purpose.
Okay. Do these cameras have any lights that blink or flash?
I don't believe this model does. The next step up has the blue and red.
You don't like that.
These don't do that. I film them at night, too. They're dark at night.
Okay. Great. There's no other discussion. Do I have a motion in the matter of 200 Royals?
Yes, in the matter of 200 Royal, I move to approve retention of the two security cameras proposed.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Can you consider painting them in the color of the building?
Look at it. And see
at least the brackets.
Possible.
At least the brackets.
Yeah, it is bright. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
But not a stipulation. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Next item is 1200 Decatur Street.
Staff requests a deferral for that one.
Okay, then we'll move on to 1026 St. Louis. Is there an applicant present? There is. Let's have the staff report, please.
Yes, this is a proposal to retain structure constructed in courtyard without benefit of BCC review or approval for application and materials received February 15th, 2024. A roof structure has been constructed on this property to cover some mechanical equipment in the alleyway next to the building. This violation was cited back in 2021. The applicant is proposing to retain the structure with some modifications. This property was renovated in 2018-2019 with the approved plans showing mechanical equipment and a low mechanical platform in this alley, but no roof or overhang, and the alley otherwise open to the sky. The as-built conditions feature an open-air roof structure that spans from about the midpoint of the building and projects about 6 feet into the courtyard. The structure is built right up against the building wall, but it is unclear from the drawings and photographs if it is physically attached to the building. The structure measures approximately 170 square feet. Staff believes there is ample open space on this property for this not to have issue with zoning's open space requirements. The proposed modifications to the structure are limited to the approximately 6 foot portion that projects into the rear courtyard. The applicant proposes to add a 1x fascia material, to the structure and wrap the 4x4 posts in 1x material. This would all be painted to match the building's trim. The K-style gutter and downspout is proposed to be replaced with a new half-round gutter and downspout. The guidelines for small structures, sheds, and enclosures note that, quote, any small structure or shed should be minimal in size with a form that is compatible with all existing buildings on property, end quote. Staff finds the location of the structure immediately adjacent to the main building less than ideal. The structure may have a detrimental effect on the building with increased moisture and less ability to dry. If this structure had been reviewed prior to construction, staff would have recommended a small air gap between the structure and the building at a minimum. Locating the structure away from the building would be preferred. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposed retention.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
No additional presentation besides the drawings that were submitted. I recognize that the structure was built. We didn't do the drawings for the structure that was built. This was kind of during COVID, and the owner just needed to get it covered. And now, wants to address the concerns. The fence was existing. They used that space. That space, and it's right next to the kitchen door, so the proximity to the building is kind of key for service and not disrupting the courtyard experience. That's it. So the intent is to make it a little bit more visually appearing, appealing to the courtyard.
You used the word need to cover. What was the need to cover? I don't understand that.
The space in the alley is equipment and storage for the restaurant itself. Well, originally it was an open space, and I think
it's storage.
The need of they have the trash is back there, the mop sink, all of that which was part of the original permit in 2018, is all back there.
Forgive me if this was in the report. Does this affect the open space?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all within that existing area.
Committee, any questions for the applicant or the staff about this proposal?
Staff mentioned in the report that they would have recommended creating a space between this cover and the building. Is there any way to create that space now?
Yeah, and I read that, and I think we can definitely do it and create that space. My concern would just be that we're then creating an area for water to be pooling in between this roof structure and the wood siding, and that could create some sort of issues with water getting in there, but we can certainly, potentially add some posts along the side of the building so that the roof structure can be sitting on posts instead of attaching to the building.
Is the roof flashed into the roof? The wall
into
flashing
the
roof? It is flashed already?
Mm-hmm. And onto the wood siding as well.
Andrew, do you know the height of this?
I don't.
Because if it's over 8 feet, you're probably going to run into issues with safety and permits with it being a wood structure that isn't set back 3 feet from the property line.
Or fire protected or anything else.
Yeah, it's definitely not over 8 feet.
That was the right answer. I think that the one thing I can respond to here is it's really shabby construction. I mean, I think that's probably right. Fair.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit disturbing that, you know, that it feels very unconsidered. And I guess it was unconsidered because it wasn't permitted. I think it would be wonderful if you could use the design power at Pierre Traplin Architects to make us a better shed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to recommend for deferral until you can do that.
Can I question the design intent of shed? If it's not fully enclosed, are we okay with the idea of a roof sitting on top of the existing fence?
I think that's in asking.
It's not on top of it, it's attached to.
Adjacent attached to, yeah. But with that open space between, are we comfortable with that kind of open space?
I don't think staff has an issue with that.
Is this a precedent issue for?
I think precedent issue. I appreciate where you're going with this. I think if it was left, these are the kinds of things that we're constantly combating on Bourbon Street.
Right.
You know, and I think if this was designed in such a way and had design intent that didn't seem like an ad hoc, you know, pieced together without a permit, because this is a very, very decorative public courtyard, you know, for use of the restaurant. And I think, frankly, I would think they would want to dress it up. It detracts from their experience back there. I enjoy that courtyard myself a lot. And so when we see these in Bourbon Street, we're working to, like, bring them into compliance. I think simply having an open, covered space with some design intent back there is a desirable thing.
Okay. I think that's the key word here is design intent. I think what I would be inclined to say is that we would deny the retention of this construction and insist on the calibration of this as something that has design intent. And I would also think that it would be worth the architect's while to study not having this shed project beyond the line of the cottage so it doesn't actually project into the courtyard. Would that be something that the committee would find?
Yeah, I do agree. And a question I have for staff does the staff object at all to having this structure touching the masonry fence?
Is this fence historic?
Is it their fence?
Yeah, I mean, because I know that I don't think it's historic because originally there was a Creole cottage right there.
Yeah.
So my guess is that this is a fence from the 1950s or 60s. Probably not problematic, but the ownership might be an issue.
It looks it's harder to see up there than it is on the screen, but looking here, there's no... hold on a minute. Let me go back. Stop.
I'm not touching anything.
Oh, okay, weird. It's doing it on its own then. Slide 192, that looks to be 1960s. You can see through the gate to the mm-hmm. side of the building. There is no separating wall between mm-hmm. that and the adjacent lot.
So okay. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I think that the thing that's successful about this is it was designed to be sneaky. In other words, we don't see it much. I'm going with the staff, but I'll entertain it. First, public comment. Any public comment on this proposal? No public comment. Committee, any proposal or a motion?
Sure, yeah. In the matter of 1026 St. Louis, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to revise the proposal to either modify the existing roof considerably to better meet the guidelines and staff's recommendations in our discussion today, or to propose replacement of said roof with a structure that does meet the guidelines.
Would that include reducing the coverage to be adjacent to the rear wall of the cottage?
Correct. Yes.
Then our shutter can operate.
Can we explore that with staff? The functionality of what's trying to be covered, I'm worried that pulling it back to the building, it's going to then defeat.
Well, our deferral gives you some latitude for design, but I want to see it back flush. I want to be able to see the shutter sit flush with the surface of the rear wall. I don't see any way to do that with that being in the way. So anyway, I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you. 319 Decatur Street. Do we have an applicant present?
1319.
I'm sorry, 1319 Decatur. Thank you for that. And we do have an applicant present. Do we have a staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to retain mechanical equipment installed at the second floor gallery and third floor balcony for application materials received March 13, 2024. An application specific to the retention and possible screening of the unit at the second floor gallery was reviewed at the September 26, 2023 Architectural Committee meeting. The committee at that time deferred the application, requesting a holistic plan to remedy all mechanical equipment on the property. A new applicant has submitted a proposal addressing both the second and third floor units and analyzing other locations on the property. The applicant states that other locations, such as the roof or in the courtyard, would not be feasible. Regarding potential rooftop locations, the applicant notes that there would be visibility from neighboring properties requiring screening, as well as needs to structurally reinforce the roof. Regarding locations in the courtyard, the applicant notes that there are two existing condensers in the courtyard, so adding two more will reduce the amount of usable space and increase sound levels. The applicant also notes the long distance between this location and the indoor units. As such, the applicant proposes to retain the units in the current balcony and gallery locations. If being applied for as a new installation, staff would not recommend installations in these locations. Staff identified the intersection of the service cell roof and the back of the main building as a likely good location for mechanical installation, either on a roof rack or wall mounted to the back of the main building. Still, an installation in this location would have to include a fair amount of infrastructure, such as a roof rack and potentially some form of permanent access to the units. Although the guidelines do note the possibility of installing mechanical equipment on balcony or galleries, this is usually used as a last resort location and always on rear balconies or galleries. Staff has concerns that this condition may inspire similar proposals for installations, noting that staff is pursuing the neighboring building at 1331 Decatur, also for mechanical equipment that extends onto the gallery. Staff appreciates that the currently installed equipment is already in place, and that all in all, the installation of this equipment would be easily reversible, while a new rooftop location would have a higher impact on the roof and structure and be more difficult to reverse. Still bound by guidelines, staff recommends denial of the proposal, retention due to its high visibility.
Thank you. Would you all like to state your names, addresses, and relationships to the property? Staff Calvin, you can start.
Calvin Rice, partner of Coker Wilson Architects. And we have
David Peltier, owner of the Unit 1.
That's the shop on the ground floor.
Chandler Holden Mentor, owner of the second unit.
And Major Mittendorf, our second unit.
David's also the president of HOA.
Got it. Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Rick, I think the staff summarized what I submitted for the application pretty well. I was brought in when my friend who owns the third floor unit with the balcony.
This one,
right?
This is this one?
Yes. That is the one. Was alarmed at the violation that she was facing. I came in to try to look for alternative locations. What I'd like to have you consider is the visual and other impacts of their current location versus the alternates that are the back roofs of the wing or the main building and the courtyard. The visual location of Unit 2, which is the full gallery, from the sidewalk under it, you don't see it. From the sidewalk across the street, you see just a bit of the top of it. And you know, when the tenant is there, it's kind of concealed with the furnishings that's out there also. The third floor is a narrow balcony, and you're going to see it. I think the rhythm of the pickets of the guardrail, if it was painted the color of the shutter, which it sits in front of, it would kind of conceal it more than the dark color that it is. But comparing those two locations, those existing locations of it, to trying to put those units on the back roofs, the visual impact, each one of them will be 350 pounds or more, requiring structural alterations to the roof, penetrations. We've got to have a screening around the platform that will be twice the length of the unit to give access. So the visual impacts to the neighbors, the back neighbors, I think in comparison is far more than the visual impact from the street side. And also altering those existing roofs significantly from their original appearance, which is runs foul to guidelines also. The technical problems with that are pretty severe. You've got all your roof penetrations to deal with, and then we have to get to the indoor AC furnace units through the stair hall and into those second and third floor units. That distance is going to exceed the manufacturer's maximum distance of refrigerant lines. The controls and the power can run as far as you want, but the refrigerant lines are limited to 50 feet. So then both units are going to suffer efficiency and can run into warranty problems. So in my investigation, you know, I just considered those impacts are far worse than where they are. The courtyard, it is small. There are different considerations there that are problematic. Any location back in the courtyard, I noticed staff said something about wall-mounted units on the back wall of the main building. I did submit, I uploaded the plans of the condo, all floors.
And the staff member who runs this is, so there may be some that didn't make it in the presentation.
Well, this might be helpful.
Can I ask one question? In that slide, it's the one... 1217. Is that
a slide? Are they numbered?
They are for me.
That's the slide. That's the slide. So is this a Photoshop representation of what it would look like with the? Okay, great.
Yes.
I don't want to cut off your presentation, Calvin, but I'm wondering if you have any questions about this. I have a question.
I don't have any. I guess my only question that I was actually just trying to look at is, when were these installed? Did they replace units that were there prior?
One of them did, and one of them didn't. I'm sorry, Nick would know more about that.
But you said one of them did and one of them didn't.
If I remember correctly.
I think, you know, in fairness, if this building was renovated many years ago with a permit and the VCC said, it's okay, you can have a condenser on the balcony.
No. They were never permitted.
Yeah.
Neither one of them were ever permitted.
The third floor has been up there a very long time.
I find this a little concerning.
Well, it's a disconnect.
Probably since 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, the disconnect is a little bit brutal. and the position in front of the shutter is not the best. But I'm actually appreciating your argument that least harm is something we should take into consideration. And where we have a requirement for guardrails and access hatches and large platforms that might affect roof surfaces, historic structure, et cetera. I think we have to consider this seriously as a solution. And I think this may be something where, especially when we have an idea that the visual impact can be mitigated by something that looks like furniture. Because these decks are occupied by things like tables, and this is kind of almost a table, at least when you're looking up at it. So I think that the argument that this is a least harm approach to providing air conditioning to these units is pretty strong.
And I do think last time we were here, I don't have the full report in front of me, but I remember writing the minutes. I think this one on the second floor, you guys were a little more okay with the, mm-hmm. the third floor, because it's much more narrow space with the bigger issue.
Right.
And blocking the shutter.
And blocking the shutter.
If I remember correctly, that was...
And it's a less occupied balcony. But I think that the concept of least harm mm-hmm. should still apply.
Yes.
Because the intervention to relocate these things could have really huge right. impacts on the historic fabric in the building. Are these things mounted in a way that allows the deck to breathe underneath?
They're just sitting on the deck.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a couple of screws in them.
Do you have any concern about that accelerating the decay of the porch deck?
No, they actually sit up, Rick.
Enough so they won't.
So water is running 100.
Yeah, they're raised about this. We just redid the entire deck on that second floor. Not showing these pictures, but.
And do you have a proposal for, you know, somehow?
With the same cover being placed on this one. We just didn't have a picture. Could get up there and take a Photoshop for you.
And do you have the ability to move that disconnect in a place that's at least not as high as the guardrail?
I could move that to the wall.
That sounds like a great idea. Okay.
Yeah.
We should ask for any public comment before we get too far into this. Any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is my committee going along with me in this thinking? I know that there might be some differences here.
I find the placement in front of the shutters on the third floor to be more than not ideal. Find it kind of objectionable. If that third floor unit could be located underneath one of those two windows, I think that could be better.
Well, then you block access all
to the
way
hall.
Back here.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, if you think of it as a table that got left on the gallery, how does it feel to you then? I mean,
it's a very ugly table.
A very ugly table. Okay.
Yeah. With no leg space.
I can make it up.
But I do appreciate the argument for least harm, and I don't know.
The third floor has been before this committee a number of times, and since each owner is responsible for their own unit, I usually haven't taken part in this. But I do know that that unit has been there since 2000, since the building went to condominiums. And in 2014, the Roof Crane Commission, I understand, said it was grandfathered in. I don't have paperwork that says that.
We can figure that out.
Yeah.
It was in a staff report. It wasn't grandfathered. Yeah.
Okay. So much for that argument.
Yeah.
I think the least harm argument is probably stronger than that.
It's growing up here.
Okay.
In this image, relocating the disconnect, there's not a lot of wall space to locate it to, unless you're going on the other side of those shutters. And certainly wouldn't want to mount it to the shutter, right?
No.
You can explore it.
Yeah.
We can discuss it.
Yeah. I think it's a stipulation of any approval. It has to.
The perspective is throwing you off a little bit. The guardrail is wider than the pickets next to the wall, and I may have to lower it down to fit it in underneath the guardrail, tighter to the balcony.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, when we look at slide 209,
is that the one?
It still pokes up above.
Yes.
Yeah. If I move it and lower it, then I'd be down below that.
There you go. Okay. Do we have a motion in the matter of 1319 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1319 Decatur, given the unique situation at this particular property,
if the words don't come, they don't come.
I mean, I'll interrupt my motion. Could we entertain retention for a certain period of time?
You're still looking at having to have air conditioning on the third floor.
Sure, but, you know, in a future renovation, I don't know, 10 years, 15, 25 years from now, we could maybe come up with a better solution.
You know, I don't know a whole lot about this kind of mechanical equipment, personally or professionally. Would a wall-mounted mini-split system that would be less, they have less space, would that work in this condition?
No.
It's not one big room, it's multiple rooms. Otherwise, a mini-split would be perfect.
Yes.
We looked at it, and they wouldn't.
Okay.
It would take multiple units.
That was my question. Does this unit go all the way through to the other side of
the
building?
Yes. Yeah. You've got the plan there now. That was brought up. Nick brought up a worry that this building could be split into more units, and then here would come another condenser on a gallery or the balcony. But that is against all zoning. Each of these units are just barely over the 800 square foot minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't split the second floor and suddenly have a second condenser out on the gallery. And the third floor is only 800. It's on the condo plans there.
No.
So you're not going to split those and suddenly be facing a applicant wanting another condenser out.
Did that help?
I don't know. I want to reserve the right for this to be, for us to revisit this in, 25 years in the future and find a better solution.
Then stipulate for the length of the life of the
unit. Length of the life of the unit.
Yeah.
They have to get permits to replace it anyway. And it could be reconsidered at that time.
Okay.
And if it's only the third floor, then stipulate that. You know, whatever your stipulation is.
Okay. All right. Well, then, in that case, in the matter of 1319 Decatur, I move to approve temporary retention of the two offending condensing units for the lifetime of those units, with the stipulation that these units be screened, that the disconnect for the third floor unit be relocated to be more concealed, and that's it.
I'd like the motion to reflect that alternative locations were explored, and that those locations would cause more harm to the historic fabric than the position proposed.
I will accept that amendment, and I will clarify that this motion is in light of the very particular circumstances on this very property and should not be considered to apply to any other property in the district.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We skipped 937 through 39 Barrack Street. Is there an applicant present for that proposal? There's usually an empty room when we're done with this, but are you here for a purpose?
Were you here for a particular item?
Well, I was told originally 740 Royal was going to be today.
So you're going to be public comment?
No. He thought his item was on here, but it's not.
Oh, it's not. No. I'm sorry.
And then I was told at the last minute that it had been requested to be removed.
I
just wanted to be here.
I
never attended, and I've been working on shop drawings and everything for that property, and
hopefully you've been informative. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I think 737 to 39 Barracks may need a deferral motion.
Oh, we just skipped.
Because that's the one we skipped.
Yep.
and we've not yet moved to defer.
737
to 30, where is it? To 39 barracks. It's this one, 737
okay.
To 39.
Yes, could I have a motion to defer 737 through 39 barracks?
Yes, I move to defer to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Could I have a motion to adjourn?
Before we adjourn, we did skip 1200 Decatur. Staff requested deferral, but we've made no motion to defer.
Then could I have a motion to defer, please?
I move to defer 1200 Decatur based from staff's request.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sorry about that. And now a motion to adjourn.
Yes, I move to adjourn.
I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I seem to be in a hurry today.